podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
¿Qué pasa, campeones? And welcome to the Churros y Tácticas Podcast. As Zoom is asking me if I'm playing music or is it the sweet sound of angels that is coming through the microphone, this is Churros y Tácticas. This is Tuesday, August 3rd. And yes, we are back after what seems like too long of a hiatus. With another episode for all you good, dear listeners, loyal listeners that are not listening from us as often as we would have liked. It's been manic. It's been crazy. Last time we were on this podcast, I literally went from A to through Z, from Monday to Friday through my week. I'm not going to do it again, but it's very similar in my case. Keon has been away in his cottage, but that doesn't stop. Real Madrid and Football Club Barcelona from doing what they do, from business taking going on as usual. Preseason games are happening, at least in the case of Barca, and we're winning them as well. Hence me doing the intro. But we're going to get through all of these things. We're going to compare Barca and Madrid ahead of this next season as well, which is kicking off in a little under 2 weeks. So love to get through. We are back and I'm feeling good. And I got a little Cole Brewski to join me, as well as my man, Keon Sobani. Keon, let's get into it, my friend. How you feeling?
Let's do it. I probably won't bring you as much joy as your cold brew will, but I'll try my best to fill in here. And it's a crazy time, man. Like, it's I'm just starting to catch up now a little bit on all. Like, I'm up to date with everything in terms of news and reports and all that stuff. But with the actual content itself, trying to keep up as best as we can, finally starting to catch up a little bit. As you know, Diego, this is a weird time for journalists because it's off season, but it's not really off season for us. Like, we still got to do
it's
work.
Busy season.
The perception, yeah. The perception of our family and friends is
there's
no football right now. Right. So we got to take advantage of you. You come with us, hang out as much as you can. I'm happy to do that. I really do. But, it's also means you fall behind a little bit, which is, we get through it. I always say, like, there's probably...
And I tell you, it's the busiest time of year for clubs. Honestly to God, it's the busiest. Even because La Liga is stopped. I remember working for La Liga TV, and this was the good season. Preseason for clubs was off season for La Liga. But it's the busiest time for clubs. You got players coming. Not going yet, but players coming. And, the preseason games... Got all these things that are still going on. You got the tour and all this stuff. So much coordinating. It's been manic, man. It's been manic. I've been asking my sister for like breathing techniques and ways to just keep my stress levels down. It's insane. And yes, as you said, our kids are obviously on holiday and our families, our members are visiting, etc. So they're kind of like, dude, we're supposed to be hanging out. And I'm like, no, I can't.
The thing also is that, we're allowed to take vacation at certain points, obviously, but I can't, this is my biggest flaw, is that I can't actually detach myself. So I can't just take a week off and then sign all these players or sell a bunch of players. Right. And then come back and like have no content ready prepared for that. So I got to just go through it. So I got to kind of, the perk is that I get to take work with me around anywhere in the world I want to go at the same time. That's also the downfall is you got to take work with you everywhere you go.
But you guys at Managing Madrid, why wouldn't you just have, say, a sort of a schedule, I guess, in place for this time of year where you sort of rotate and like you do in a newsroom. You sort of have, your journalists on duty while some break off and just disconnect and spend time, much needed time with the family and all that.
It's doable. The easiest answer I can give you and the most honest answer is I just don't really want to. I just love it too much. She's not home. It doesn't feel like work for me. So I'd rather, because it's so much fun. This is what I would like to do anyway. So vacation be damned. This is life and this is fun. So I'm really lucky to be in this position to be able to do this. So anyways, Diego, I wanted to start by... Before we get into Real Madrid versus Barcelona, who has the better team heading into next season, because I think that's the primary focus of today, I would like to confess rather proudly, actually, that I have not watched Barcelona even a second in the preseason. So what do we need to know? What is the latest? How are you guys looking? I did see that Memphis scored a nice goal. I saw that goal. That was nice. And it was a De Jong pass, so the nice Dutch connection there. Congratulations. That must have been pure orgasm for you. So congrats. What do we need to know about this preseason? How's it been going? Fill us in.
Okay. So it's been a great preseason. Barca started off the preseason playing against Gimnàstic de Tarragona, fellow Catalans. Who actually were the same rivals as Barça last season. This time around, we beat them 4-0. It had to actually be the B team, literally the Barça B team, a lot of youngsters in the second half to break the deadlock and win the game. Convincingly, there was a red card in play that also helped, certainly. A red card that fell in favor for Barça, so Gimnàstic got a player sent off that also helped. Basically, it just killed off the game, really, in all honesty. But the big news of that game was certainly the debut of Memphis. I'm getting ahead of myself. Was the three-goal, the hat-trick scored by Rey Manai, the Barça B player, who's actually a 24-year-old Albanian, not the youngest anymore, has Serie A experience, came from Inter Milan, played for Granada, then came to Barça B. So he's on a knocking on the doors of a first team. If it's not at Barça, which I doubt, it will be Barça because, I mean, our front line is ridiculous. We're going to go through our squads in a minute. But, you know, he will leave, I suspect, you know, this summer because he's not a Barça B player. Great scorer. Four goals in two games. He will go away on loan, hopefully, because I think he has a lot of talent, a lot of quality. You know, he's a goal-scoring machine. He's been on a roll. This preseason so far, he's had four goals in the two games, well, now three games. But he had four goals, and it would have been five if Gerard Piqué would have let him take the penalty against Girona. But Gerard Piqué actually stepped in and kindly reminded him of a pecking order, a hierarchy in the Barça locker room, and he took it instead. Rey Manai did get his goal in that game in against Girona as well, which was the second game. So moving over from the first to the second, Barça-Girona, 3-1 victory. The big news there, the entrance, the debut of Memphis, which came after a Rey Manai concussion in the first half.
Before you talk about Memphis, I just looked up Rey Manai.
Yep.
He's 24. Okay. How is he 24 and still playing with Barça B? This is like classic Mariano syndrome. Yesterday or 2 days ago, I think it was yesterday, was Mariano Diaz's birthday. Can you guess how old this kid is?
Mariano? I don't know, 28?
29. It's like, dude, how? Like, Martin Odegaard has been around you for 30 more years and he's like 800 years younger than you. Where have you been? Like, to be quite honest with you, it's a more like a pity. I feel bad for him. He shouldn't have been in this position. He should have had a better career by now because he should have, again, that's Sevilla. We shouldn't have blocked that Sevilla deal. That still haunts me because I care for people and I would just want him to be happy. It would have been better off if he just went to Sevilla. But so old youth team player.
He's not going to stick around. I mean, he's actually openly said, similar to Collado, in fact, to the Barça B captain, who's 22, we're not coming back to Barça B. So both him and in fact, Collado has now been sent on loan to Bruges, to Brugge over in Belgium. And Rey Manai will also depart for sure. But again, he came off with a concussion that allowed Memphis to get his debut against Girona. Instant impact. In fact, the crowd was already chanting his name, begging him to come in. That was before the game, then during the game as well. So Koeman wasted no minutes, put him in. Scored a goal, scored from the penalty. The teammates allowed him to take the penalty. So Barça win 3-1 against Girona. Then they go over to Stuttgart, to Germany, for the second phase of the preseason tour. Play against Stuttgart. We won, what was the final score? 3-0? 3-0, I want to say.
I don't blame 3-0, you at all. 3-0.
No, 3-0. Memphis goal, that beautiful goal that you talked about. Also, mind you, Ricky Puig, Memphis, and Yusuf Demir. Yusuf Demir, my man. I mean, here we go. It's been said, and I'm only going to say this because Andrea Orlandi, who I had the pleasure of calling these games with, Andrea Orlandi, you know, from La Liga TV and Barça, etc., and our podcast, he came on our podcast. He compares him to Messi, and a lot of people do, and he says, no, you look at him play, you look at him, his style of play, this is definitely a kid that's been influenced and studied Messi's tapes. Similar, this is later, and when we went out for dinner comparing to like how Kobe studied Jordan, you can see how Yusuf has studied Messi. And it's just very, very similar movements, the way he conducts himself. He's more confident than Messi off the pitch. So this kid has a lot of personality. He's Austrian, 18 years of age, comes from Vienna Rapid, and he's on loan to Barça B. But Koeman has been, I mean, this kid has been taking the preseason by storm. Like, he should not be with the B team. This is a first team material. Very exciting young player. Very exciting. He's just been getting the ball, been fed the ball, been you know, presenting, like, very present in you know, looking for the ball and being sought out by his teammates. So keep an eye on him. Yusuf Demir. That was then against Stuttgart. Mind you, I'm talking about the Stuttgart game, where Yusuf has been great in all three games. Then tomorrow it's in Austria, in fact, so in Yusuf's native Austria. We're playing Red Bull Salzburg. I'll be calling that game for Barca TV Plus, of course. And then finally, on August 8th, I have the pleasure to do the Johan Gamper Trophy for Barca Juventus. And that'll conclude the preseason before La Liga starts August 15th against Real Sociedad.
Are you going to be doing games for the season as well, or that content is just complete?
Yeah, this is going to go. Yeah, we got to talk about that, because it sort of affects Churros as well, the recording. We're going to have to be, you know how we wanted to stick to Monday, Friday? We're going to need to be a little bit flexible.
We'll figure out, as one of our patrons suggested last week, to bring in more guests. So, you know, we can kind of, we can maybe do subs and stuff. We'll figure it out off air. Okay. So do you feel like that brings us up to speed?
We can talk about, there's so many, at least from what has been going on. Then, you know, individually, I mentioned Yusuf, I mentioned Memphis. You know, the team is looking great, Kian. I gotta say, this has been an exciting preseason. Normally, preseason games really don't excite me. You know, the intensity is lacking, and it feels that under Koeman that and it was something that we discussed as well on in one of the games, that he's really driving these guys, this team, this squad, to, you know, activate their chip quickly, and he's intense. Practices are hard. Everybody's repeating or saying how hard the practices are and how intense the games are. But also even like just practice games and things. And you see it on the field. So, I mean, yeah, right now things are going well. Things seem to be gelling well. You obviously have so many problems behind the scenes with, you know, financially, with even, it's not even sure if Messi is coming back at the moment. It's not even sure if we can inscribe, as they say in Spanish, which I think is badly translated, but I've been doing it, you know, for the past 2 weeks, inscribing the players or writing the players in, signing them in, let's say, to be eligible to play in La Liga. It's not sure if that can be done for Messi, for Griezmann, for Kun Agüero, for Memphis, for you know, all of these players, because right now, the way things stand, Barca is suffering from this massive salary cap that, you know, with all the players that have come in, you know, from Eric García, Kun Agüero, Memphis Depay, and now Emerson Royal, who I got to present yesterday, and lovely chat, by the way, and a great again. But four players in and still no players out, none of the big ones at least, you know, these problems are mounting, and it's a lot of work to be done, because La Liga has said they're not going to be more flexible with Barca. You know, the salary cap will have to go down, will have to be decreased, and significantly for that matter. Otherwise, you know, we're in serious trouble. So things look good, but there's still so much work to be done, and things could go bad in any moment at the same time. But, you know, inshallah, man, we'll see.
So here's what I mean, this is interesting, because what we're going to do here is we're kind of going to rank on, like, who is better between Real Madrid and Barcelona. And I think we can bring Atletico into the mix, you know, and as part of the discussion, naturally, because they deserve that respect, and they may very well be number one. But, you know, we'll see. But it's a little bit of gymnastics and prophesizing too, because we're not entirely sure what Barcelona and Real Madrid will look like by the end of this. So it's a little bit of theorizing too, because Barcelona are going have to sell players. Real Madrid are not done. Like, this is the Real Madrid squad, I think, is going to be quite trimmed down by the time the season starts. Even we're going to lose even more depth, and I'm not going to spoil too much with Real Madrid as a starting lineup standpoint, because we're actually on the Managing Madrid podcast tonight. We're going to go through the best Real Madrid 11 possible with the current squad. But I do think that Barca's case is interesting. I'm very curious who makes way here, how they juggle the salary cap thing, because look, no matter how we spin this, there's no way Messi's not going to be a Barcelona player at the start of next season. There's like, first of all, La Liga don't want to lose him. They'll be flexible. I know they say they're not going to be flexible, but I think they will be a little bit flexible given the pandemic situation, and or they'll just figure out how to get rid of players. But here's what's interesting is that the Griezmann stuff has died down a little bit, and he's the one, or one of the ones, but in my mind, the one that, like, in terms of generating revenue is kind of was going to be the martyr and all this. So it's cooled down a little bit. So where do you think these changes are going to come from? Is he still going to be the martyr? Is there going to be other players making way? Can they? I'd be curious to know what you think the best starting lineup is given the players that are in the squad right now, because the attack has a lot of wiggle room and experimentation that needs to be had. So what do you think is the ultimate solution in all this? Like, where does Barca stand by the end of it?
Well, the thing with Griezmann, what makes it so complicated is little flexibility when it comes to teams that he would actually consider offers from. And there's only one, Atlético de Madrid. Why? Because he doesn't want to leave Spain. He's adamant about this. Adamant. Doesn't want the Premier, doesn't want Paris, doesn't want Italy. It only leaves Atletico, and Atletico cannot pay what he's earning. Now, he has agreed to a pay cut. Let me just say real quick, in brackets, a massive... This is the Tuesday edition. I got to be careful. Something was brought to light to me regarding Griezzi that completely changed my opinion.
I love this.
And...
I love it.
This...
I'm getting tingles. I'm getting so excited for this.
Griezmann is unfair, being treated unfairly by the media and fans alike. And I can't say this. Can't say it.
Oh, all right. Then we'll do unfair.
Okay, let me just say this.
Friday show, patreon.com/churrositacticas is where the beans are spilled. But continue.
Yeah. I'll bring it up on Friday, 100%. Tune in on Friday because it's juicy. It's eye-opening. And like I said, it completely changed my perspective on him. I'm on team Greasy now. Not that I wasn't before. I mean, I wished him the man well. I want him to do well, of course. He's a Barca player. I'm rooting for him. But I was, you know, somewhat critical and saw him as a not necessarily good fit. Which the tactics is one thing, but how? Let's just say from a certain perspective, my view has completely changed, and he deserves a lot more appreciation, respect from Barca fans, and the institution. And anyway, moving on.
Okay, if and I don't know exactly what you were gonna say, but if it's a scenario where a player,
are you all fair?
Okay, well, but let me just say, like, if it's a scenario where the player takes a salary cut to help his team and be moved, that's on more than like what 99% of players would do in football. Because every player has the right to be like, hey, man, that's your problem for being in this shitty financial situation, not mine. I get my money. You put me on the bench if you don't want to play me or whatever you want to do, but I'm here and I'm getting paid. By the way, I don't blame those players either, nor look down on them or judge them because they're in the right to do that. But if it's a scenario where a player is actually doing that, that's commendable. And if Atletico get him somehow, plus, I don't know if they would be able to juggle both Griezmann and Lautaro Martinez. But even if they get just one of those players, plus Rodrigo De Paul, which they've already landed and is an awesome midfielder and lessens the blow of losing Saul. I'm telling you, like, I don't like leaving Atletico out of any top three discussion. They could be number one.
We should.
They really do. By the way, just to say, I rank Real Madrid number three right now out of all three of those teams, which in a way excites me because usually my predictions are wrong in those situations. I was wrong when I thought Real Madrid and Barcelona were heading into two different directions after that Super Cup. As we know, I was wrong about being critical, too critical about Real Madrid losing 7-3 to Atletico in preseason. So I guess all this to say is that I've learned over time to really realize that football can change so freaking quickly. And maybe by the end of this, Real Madrid will be number one just because I ranked them number three. So that excites me a little bit. But I, as things currently stand, I think Real Madrid have the least exciting outlook for the upcoming season if everything stays the same.
I had a feeling that you would, and I think it's fair. I think, again, it just shows your honesty. It shows your
honor, humility, greatness.
Well, not just that. It's this position you like to take as the underdog to sort of, you know, put yourself as a humble underdog.
Voodoo. Yeah. It's the jinxing power.
Depreciation. And like the jinx things. Anyways, and So that's Griezmann. Then we have the case. What were we talking about? Where were we talking about this? But where the change is going to come from, right? I can say this. Griezmann doesn't earn what the media is saying. A lot of media puts his salary up to double what he's actually earning. He's actually earning a lot less than, hold your horses, Umtiti.
Bad.
He earns less than Umtiti.
Good for Umtiti, man.
That's why Umtiti is a problem for
Barca. Like,
well, it's a problem because
immovable, man. Immovable.
He doesn't want to move. He doesn't want to move. The Barca vets are not willing to budge neither in their salary. Now the reports are coming out that they are finally willing to accept some sort of, you know, a pay cut. I don't know how much. I know Joan Laporta was asked about it yesterday. He said that, yes, he's been in touch with them. He's been interacting with them. They've been coming closer together and closer to an agreement, for that matter. So, you know, it would be a very bad look for, you know, the guys from La Casa, from the house, from La Masia, to not, you know, be willing to help the club in seeing the difficult position that they're in. Which is, you know, quite due to unique circumstances. In the end of the day, the club gave them everything. The big situation right now is Ilaish Moriba. You know, it seems that also there, the postures are very far from coming to an agreement. They're unwilling to budge either side. And the offer that has been put forward seems to be, you know, obviously taking into account the current situation, a fair one, despite the fact that, it is being said that Ilaish wants to earn more than Ansu Fati. Now, you cannot, you know, whether that's true or not, I don't know. I don't know I don't know the numbers, but it's a bad look for a player to leave it to the last year of the contract to then put the squeeze on a club being in the position that they're in. And I think the club are making the right decision by, you know, putting him aside literally and figuratively and taking care of other business, like other players that have to going out, unless they're willing to come to the table to talk about, you know, considerable terms. And if the terms are, we want to earn more than Ansu Fati, I know this is simplifying it, but I think that shouldn't even be a negotiation point. That's just not being fair, if you want to put it that.
Can I also say, on the Ilaish situation, when this whole thing started and I realized what he was demanding, given that he's done nothing in his career but have a few good months of impressive football that was good, for him. I just assumed that like his agent was his father or brother, just being really ill-advised. But he actually has like a legit agency he's with. Just stop talking. Stop being a baby.
Are you talking to my daughter right now? Here in the back, she's going, "Papa, papa." You're going, "Stop talking. Stop never, being a baby."
Never, never. Joyo's my homie. It's ridiculous. You'll never catch me defending Barca. But like, come on, man. And good for Laporta for coming out and speaking out about this, because it's insane. Like, especially during a global pandemic, especially the fact that you've done nothing. You're just a kid. Just sit down, shut up, and go to work, man. If anyone should be complaining, it's Ricky Pooch. Like, but
yeah,
Lechman, yeah. you Koeman believed in you. He gave you chances. Repay that honor and faith, and continue to work hard. And don't start talking about money and I demand this and that.
Yeah,
embarrassing. Yeah. Anyways, continue.
Yeah, no, I agree. Well, we'll see how it goes. We'll see. The season is very long, and I cannot imagine an Elish that isn't even playing with a B team. But we'll see. Of course, we have cases of Felipe Coutinho, Mire and Pjanic that are what they are at the moment. Laporta came out and said, well, Coutinho and Griezmann will stay. There are the options, there are just what they are, and they're obviously limited given the current situation. Miralem Pjanic seems to be on the brink of a move back to Juventus. We'll see if that actually happens. I mentioned Ousmane Dembele. There, the contract renewal seems to be a possibility. Now, today is being reported that Juventus is actually behind him with an offer. Obviously, they want him free, so they're trying to tempt him not to resign the renewal. Right now, he's injured. He will not be back in action until November. That, of course, also plays in Barca's favor, quote-unquote, if you want to put it that way, I think. But we'll see. Ansu Fati is out injured, so... let me get to, I think, the more interesting part because, you know, I think it's obvious a lot of work still has to be done before this team actually ends up being, you know, the final form team of the 2021-22 season. The final roster, we'll see how it goes. And you talked about the one for Real Madrid also. Still time to actually come to its conclusion, let's say. But looking at the roster now, are you cool to digress or we go into the, like, say, best 11 right now, right?
Yeah.
Because I think the best 11 for Barca right now, seeing as, look at this, Transfermarkt has actually listed Leo Messi in top departures. You know, Leo Messi is currently not a Barca player. So, like,
Technically speaking,
the departures, you know, Trincao's gone, Pirpo's gone, Todibo, Aleñá. We've had the arrivals of Depay, Emerson, Eric García, Agüero, and Collado is actually, he should be in the gone column. My favorite 11, top 11. Well, Ter Stegen is injured, so we cannot even count on him, technically. I'll go with Arnautenas or Iñaki Peña. Right now, both have been impressing me, but I'll go with Arnautenas.
For?
In goal.
Is starting 11?
Yes. I have to. Ter Stegen is injured.
Oh.
Can't put him in. You said available players, right?
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, when is he going to be back?
In like October?
Oh, yeah. Well, you can count him. I'm not, you don't have to... Okay. We know Ter Stegen's going to be starting when he comes back, but yeah, continue.
Right. Okay. So Ter Stegen, central defenders, I'm going to pick Araujo, and I'm going to pick Eric García over Piqué right now. Why? Because?
It's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen, but it will happen for
maybe... We'll see him start a lot either way. We'll see a lot of Piqué and García together.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe we'll see Gerard Piqué start 70% of the matches this season just because his age, injuries, etc.
Do you think he's going through a midlife crisis?
No.
You don't think so? I don't know, man.
Why? Because he shaved his beard?
Well, he shaved it and he's posting about it every 2 seconds and like... He's like, hey, look at me, guys. New year, new PK. No beard, more aerodynamic. I'm back, baby. We'll see. Good luck to him.
And my fullbacks, I'm going to go with... I'll put him in just because I interviewed his ass yesterday and it was his presentation. Charming fella, highly ambitious. Don't underestimate this guy's work rate. Emerson Royal, I'm expecting big things from you, my friend. He got a call from Dani Alves. And what impressed me the most, so just to quickly, again, digress into the interview, he said some very interesting things. One, he said that, you know, coming here to Barca is a victory for him, a personal victory, but he's incredibly driven, so much so that even in practices, he lists in games that he won and lost. This guy hates losing, is my point. He has a list of games that he wins and loses. And when he's on a losing team, he gets in a very bad mood, takes it very serious. His work rate, I think, is underestimated, or at least was unknown to me. He got, in that sense, a special treatment from Manuel Pellegrini. He had very long conversations with him and Chichi from the Brazilian national side on how to improve his game. He said he knows that his weakness is the sometimes the lack of concentration, or like just kind of like he has a short circuit, as he described it. He'll like drop his concentration in defense. I think moving forward, this player is going to benefit the Barca forwards a lot. So I'm excited to see him, and I trust his work rate, the fact that he's a workhorse. So I'm going to put him and I'm going to put Serginho Dest on each side. Okay. Now I know Emerson's listening as a right back. Therefore I'm switching Serginho Dest over to the left, a position that he's comfortable in playing as well. Then in the middle, I'm going to go with Frenkie. I'm going to go with Pedri. And I'm going to go with Nico González. I'm going to have Nico González substitute Sergio Busquets, and I'm going to have Frenkie and Pedri play in front of Nico. Nico González, write down the name, one of the players that has blown my mind this preseason so far, besides from what I saw from him with the B team. But I'm telling you now, guaranteed starter for Barca and the Spanish national side in 1 or 2 years' time. Nico González is the son of Fran González. Fran, the captain of the Super Deport team. He recently renewed his contract with Barca. We have him for 2024, and this kid is knocking on the door of the first team, and he's not going anywhere. Like, he's here to stay. So I'm expecting him to be, you know, promoted to the first team very, very soon. And I'll put him now. Like, you know, he's with the first team now, and the games he's played is excellent. Very strong, but much stronger, maybe tactically. You know, Busquets was a step ahead, or is a step ahead in his prime. But if you rewind the tapes from when Busquets came from the B team, when Pep took him from the B team to play with the first team, when he was, you know, I think Nico is, how old is he? I think he's 18. He was around the same age. Busquets a lot skinnier, a lot more fragile, and this kid is he's physically is very strong, and he's got the same turns and the vision of a Busi. So take down the name in case you haven't already. So sorry, Ricky, you're still on the bench. Then up front, I'm gonna go with, well, again, Ansu Fati's injured. So but if you say I can use him, well, then I'm gonna use Ansu. Messi's not there, so Messi's not a Barca player. I can't take Messi. So then I'm going to go with Ansu, I'm going to go with Yusuf, and I'm going to go with Antoine or Memphis. And of course, me being Dutch, I got to go with Memphis.
Wait, so who were your first two? Messi, who was the other one?
No, not Messi. I can't choose Messi. Messi's not a Barca player.
Come on, man. Come on. Just
okay. Fine. Listen, you think it's such a it's a done deal? It really isn't. This is gonna. Done this deal. Could be the new story of the century. Anyway, fine. If you let me have Messi, I'll have Messi, I'll have Ansu, and then I'm going to put Memphis in. Memphis or Ansu as number 9, I'm going to go probably, I don't know. They can switch around.
I think
from
that's
the
probably,
left to the center.
Yeah, so that's where I probably got the most interesting from me too, what's going to happen with the front three. A lot of what you said in midfield and defense is some of your personal takes too, which I don't know necessarily if that's going to happen, but the front three,
it's not going to happen. Of course,
in terms of Barca's best front three, I think it's gearing towards like a Messi, Ansu, Memphis trio, which has wiggle room because
these men on the bench. I don't think so.
Just in terms of fit, sure.
As a fit, yeah.
One sec. Let me just plug this back in. churros. So be, just because based on based on fit, tactical fit, it, you know, Messi and Griezmann together has, it started to get a little bit better as the season wore on and you know, they were able to figure out a different role for Griezmann, and Griezmann will play anywhere because he's that kind of player. But in terms of tactical fit, I think if you want to surround Messi with quick wingers and players who can get behind the lines and receive those through balls, but are also versatile, can drift in and out of positions, I think a Memphis and Ansu pairing along with Messi gives you that kind of flexibility. And but it's a trio that will, Messi's, I don't think you want to play Messi to the ground every game. So there, and you also, Ansu's health is a variable, right? So you're going to get plenty of Dembus and Griezmann, and then you get, you can get Aguero coming in and out of the starting lineup. Did Braithwaite get sold yet, or is that
still there? Okay. And determined to stay.
So
it's ridiculous. I mean, Barca's roster is just nuts.
It's a great roster. It's a great roster. So
it's too much. Keeps me up at night.
Again, we'll see what they can do with Coutinho and Pjanic and maybe Griezmann and others. And there was a report that asked posted yesterday, an audit that shows that only like 15% of Barca's financial issues were down to the pandemic. The rest was just Bartomeu's mismanagement of the money and the contracts and the salaries and all that. So
it was a great New York Times article too.
So let's
head over to the capital.
So Real Madrid has similar questions, right? We have a lot of depth in certain positions. We also had the blow just before the podcast started, a blow to Toni Kroos' injury, which I have to dive a little bit deeper on, because I'm not entirely clear. Again, this, the official statement from the club confirming the injury, and then Kroos tweeted about it, is something that I'd have to learn more about. And I'm sure we'll learn more about tonight when we record our Managing Madrid podcast. But he's going to miss, I think, the beginning of the season, which in a way gives room, more wiggle room for players like Odegaard.
Surely, you welcome that.
You always hated Toni Kroos. And I don't know if it's because he's German or if it's something else.
No.
But he's fucking amazing. And I will not tolerate any Kroos slander. No, it's never a good thing. I'm never welcoming a Kroos injury. But it does mean that at the very beginning of the season, there's going to be a chance for Fede, Odegaard, possibly even Isco, although I really do feel that Isco is going to be sold before the deadline.
Isco.
To coming prove out something.
From the grave.
But here's, and I wrote a lot about this in my column, which I published yesterday, Diego, just a lot about, like, if you can somehow get to 6 players for the front 3 attacking positions in Real Madrid, that's a nice tight rotation, which I would welcome, because I actually do believe that Ancelotti wanting a tight rotation makes more sense than just having a million players there, especially in a time where you need to just grab every penny you can and trim the roster, and why hold on to just pure luxury and superfluous depth that you don't need. Right now in the front 3 attacking positions, which I wrote yesterday for Real Madrid, there's about 9 players occupying those spots that you can't keep all 9. It's impossible. And that doesn't even include people like Isco and Odegaard, who I just counted as deeper or more flexible players. It doesn't even include the players who are already going out on loan. It doesn't even include players like Kubo, who won't be here next year. Just 9 players who are there in those front 3 attacking positions that you can't keep. There's no way you can keep. And the midfield doesn't get any more easy. And I'm okay with getting rid of a bunch of players, partly because this generation of Castilla, look, I just listened to you to overhype 800 Barca B players.
Part of that, the reason, was like not even half.
Well, part of the reason I'm also okay with Ram just trimming it pretty deep is because this is about the best Castilla generation we've had in a long, long time. And I don't know if I want to put a timeline on it, but like, and it's not Quinta del Buitre, but it's certainly not like Soldado Negredo type stuff. It's, we have like between Sergio Arribas, Miguel Gutierrez, Antonio Blanco, Mario Gila, there's a lot of good players in Castilla that if we needed to win a pickle, call somebody up, I would be okay with having those players play those minutes. And I actually think those players would play bigger minutes now if there wasn't so many contracts in their way. I think those players would actually get chances even sooner than that. Like, and once we get Marcelo off the books, Miguel Gutierrez is going to play a prominent role. So I'm okay with that. And if I had to tell you, Diego, like where I stand on this Real Madrid team right now, assuming we don't get Mbappe or Haaland, assuming more cuts are coming, assuming 2022 will be the big summer year, Diego, that's when the stadium gets unveiled. You start to roll the red carpet for the big signings. You have more money. 2022 is going to be like the 2009 summer. Not to that extent, but there's going to be a couple, I think.
I got you.
So we just count this upcoming year as a transition year. I think there's room.
No transition years in a big club.
It is what it is. What do you want? It's like, it has to be. You can't
see, that's bad. And you know why that's bad? Because what I don't get, and I'm sorry to interject real quick, but let me try just to make a quick point. What I don't understand is why Real Madrid would have wasted the careers and their money and the fans' patience of opposing and home fans with the acquisitions of, you know, your Rodrigos, your, you know, Takekubos, your Vinicius, your even Jovic for that matter. Who's another one? Odegaard, for crying out loud. Reinier, what's his face? Brahim Diaz, etc., etc. You can go on and on. Why would you acquire such talented players without actually having a plan? You talk about all these great Real Madrid Castilla players, which I have to take your word for. Like you, I don't watch Castilla. As in like you with Barça B. So I'll take your word for it. But there's no plan there. I don't feel that there's a plan. Even with all the trials and dramas and tribulations that Barça are going through, I feel that there's some plan and synchronization and togetherness, a cohesion, a collaboration between the Barça B and the first team. At the moment, it seems, at least. I don't get that sense from Real Madrid. I get the complete opposite sense. It's been, give me, let me have it for me. And okay, I'll try to move you guys around as the market goes, as the time goes by and mark and transfer windows go by. And look at, you know, Kubo, look at what's his name, Brahim Diaz, look at Odegaard. These guys are great players without teams, or now with teams again, but they're just being moved around without having any consistency, and you're ruining careers like this. There's no continuation, there's no plan, there's no consistent work routine, there's no system that they're getting used to. They're just being moved around, and I find that saddening.
I think there's two issues. One is that there's a lot of contracts in the way. So if we didn't have Bale and Hazard, for example, this upcoming season, and part of the reason why the transition year is a tough pill to swallow, because usually transition years entail, Diego, that you can just roll with a bunch of youth players. And if you fail, at least you've given them a shot. You've let them grow and you let them develop a little bit, right? But you can't even really do that this year. Or if you do, you're going to have to bench players like Bale to do so. So part of the issue is that you have heavy contracts in the way, just like maybe Barca do with the Pjanic's, Umtiti's, Coutinho, etc. Now, Barca have two choices. They can either sell those players, which is hard, or keep them and not play them. And Real Madrid will have to bite the... And I don't know if Real Madrid will do that. And so that's part of my concern. And I think the other issue is that it is mismanagement, like you said. I think it was a lot of...
Mismanagement, yeah.
It's a lot of throwing shit at the wall. What's the expression? You throw... The shit sticks? That doesn't make sense. What's the expression?
See if it sticks. Something like that.
Why would anyone want shit to stick to the wall? I don't get that analogy now.
That's when you know it's sticky.
All right, so we want sticky shit? Well, that makes no sense. All right, so, okay, a better one. Darts blindfolded. I like that one better. Nice, there was a lot of throwing darts blindfolded and hoping one of them hits. So But the problem is that it handcuffs you down the road, because if none of them hit, then you can't, you're not going to get the same return on value. So there's a couple different paths you can take. One is that if you sign Asensio for $3 million and he doesn't work out, who cares? He was only $3 million. He's not that expensive. Right. Okay. That's why, like, no matter how you spin it and no matter how many fans hate on Asensio and don't like him, you can't, that signing was a massive success. $3 million. Are you kidding me? He scored in Champions League finals. He scored in Super Cup finals. He scored a bunch of goals. He scored in knockout rounds. Even that has paid for itself, like millions and millions in return, right? So even if he fails now, he was still a success because he was only $3 million. If Rodrigo or Vinicius don't pan out, then it's a different story because you splash a lot more on them. And if you can't recoup what you paid for them, then ultimately it's a failure. And I'm not going to say they're a failure now because we won't have the answer to that until a few years down the road, or 2 years down the road, whatever your measuring stick on that is. Kubo, if he doesn't pan out, it's fine. He wasn't too expensive. But I think the problem is, like, when you have too many of these players, they get in the way of each other. Part of the reason why Rodrigo didn't play more last season, half was injury related. The other half was because you have Vinicius on the left wing, and that's Rodrigo's best position. So that's part of it, right? And that's why
Bring in a Hazard.
What's that?
And you bring in a Hazard on top.
Yeah, and that's a whole different debate. So I think there is a mismanagement in the sporting vision has always had flaws at Real Madrid, always. There's been a lack of direction. There's been a lot of 180 thinking, like, okay, quick decisions that have long-term consequences, all that stuff. So don't forget, this is going on YouTube with all the stuff you're doing right now in the background.
It's all legal.
Okay. I don't know if it's legal on YouTube, but whatever. Now people are good. Now if they listen to this, let's go on YouTube, see what the hell is timestamp. All right. So having said all that, that's why I say it's a transition year and we have to accept it. And it's because of decisions we've made in the past. It's not decisions we've made now. Even losing Baran was not, it's not something... The reason we lost him is not because of decisions we made now. It's because of decisions we made years ago. We didn't give him the extension. We didn't give him the raise. Whether we could or we couldn't, I think there were times where we couldn't, and there were times where we couldn't. We would be able to offer him more in 2022, but I think the damage was done, and he was already out the door. Having said that, this discussion really changes if they are able to land Mbappe or Haaland, which I don't think is likely, but it's on the table. I can tell you why. Listen, and why not, but...
The 22 theory is the one I sign on to. That seems very plausible. Him coming over for free on top of that, I think that's what's going to happen. And it'll be glorious! Glorious!
Yeah, that'd be nice. It'd be really fun. Yeah. Do you think...
Must be so good to know that, you know, the second best player in the world at the moment just wants to come to your club and there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But then he kind of annoys with statements like, my dream is to win the Champions League with PSG. It's like, oh.
The only concern I have is that the reliance on him coming for free. I understand why you rely on that, but I just feel like too many people are pretending that things can't change. You know what I mean? Like, you can't change your mind. Next summer, like, if PSG have just ripped everyone apart, they have all these new signings this summer, God forbid they even get Pogba somehow, they're going to be a force, right? And then Real Madrid have a shitty year, which is plausible, or a year where, you know, it's not great relative to what the club expects. And Mbappe can just kind of change his mind on the spot. It's possible. You know what I mean? So, like, it's possible. That's all I'm saying. So, so that's why I would also understand if the club thought they don't want to rely on that and they put everything, just put all their chips on the table, be like, all right, we'll We'll sign him. Maybe we'll even throw Vinicius in the deal if you don't want all the money. You don't care about the money. PSG, you know, if they lose Mbappe, their plans really crumble. So I understand why they would want to hold on to him and lose him for free. People don't understand that. I see a lot of people on Twitter getting upset, like PSG are dumb for wanting to lose him for free. Dude, PSG don't give a shit about the money they might get for him this year. Their whole plan crumbles without him. So I understand if they wanted a year to convince him, or if they lose him for free, if they win the Champions League, that's worth holding on to him for one more year. I get that. But if they don't have him this next year, wow, big deal. They get an old Ramos and they have Ashraf Hakimi who's still raw. He's not great defensively. And they think all of a sudden they're going to win a Champions League with an injured Neymar up front like that. You know, so I get that.
Injured and fat. Have you seen his photos?
No, Neymar is fat. Doesn't get fat. No, he can't get fat.
Look at it. It reminds me of Ronnie.
For that dude to get fat, you need to chain him down and pump like vegetable oil down his throat.
Not fat in comparison to you and me, obviously, but you know, football fat. Can we just call him football fat?
I can't picture it.
He's got a little belly. Got a little chubby big belly.
His jeans are like, you can't do
anything. Did you see the pictures?
No, I didn't. Are you sure it wasn't one of those Instagram lookalikes? You know, there's like that.
No.
You know, have you seen those guys on Instagram who pretend to be Brazilian footballers and they pass.
Yeah,
there's Marcelo
and
Neymar.
They're really good as well. I know they're the one amazing. You're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. Are you sure it wasn't
Dino
that?
Is like spot on.
Yeah,
no, it's not that. And in fact, it reminds me of Ronaldinho in like 2008. There's a picture of him walking off the pitch, and he's got a little belly, and it became headline news, and it was sort of the decline, the beginning of the decline of Dino and Barca. That's what Neymar looked like in this picture. Anyway. He's in all fairness, he's on the yard, he's pumping champs and, you know, doing what footballers do in the summer. So, yeah, he's got a little belly sticking it out.
If
for the world to see, what? If what?
Well, I lost my train of thought, but basically, like, I get why Real Madrid would not bank on him, and I also would get why PSG would risk losing for free. I get both sides of that. These are unique circumstances for both situations. If you're Real Madrid and you can allocate some of that money to Haaland, like not the full extent, but you can get signed Haaland.
So you guys want Mbappe and Haaland for real?
Jeez. What Real Madrid want? We want everything. We want everything, everyone, and under the sun.
You're going to get it. Let's just pray he goes to Chelsea and that'll be that. At least for 4 or 5 years. You'll get him.
It's amazing like how young these players still are. Like even if you think about it, like if Real Madrid miss out on Mbappe, he somehow signs a new deal with PSG. If he comes in 5 years, he's still like 27 by then. Like he's still so young.
That's
even
the thing.
Then.
That's what I'm saying. What I
mean? Yeah,
exactly. You'll have him 5 years. Hopefully his knees will be gone. No, I that is not.
The one,
I wish no harm.
The one
player,
guy I thought about, like, because if Real Madrid miss out on Mbappe or Haaland, I don't see them signing anyone because, like, who are you going to sign really with that money that would upgrade you or not or be worth the upgrade that wouldn't get away in the young talent you have, right? The one guy that crossed my mind given his situation right now is Harry Kane because that guy is fucking good. He is a goal scorer. He's a playmaker. Real Madrid needs somebody that. But
I would...
And Manchester City, I don't know if they're going to go all in for him. And Daniel Levy doesn't want to sell within in the Premier League. Kane wants to go. Would that be like? My only concern is his injury record. His ankles terrify me. His injuries terrify me. That's the only thing that would be the stumbling block.
Yeah, I got nothing to say about Kane. I'm not a hater. I'm just not much of a raider. Oh, I ain't a hater. I'm just not a raider of him that much.
How
okay?
can you not rate Harry Kane? He's awesome. This is classic Barca because he wouldn't fit your Barca DNA. Classic.
No. I just, you know, maybe I haven't seen enough of him. Again, I confess, I don't watch the Premier League on a weekly basis. So, but from what I've seen from him and, you know, in the tournament and things, I don't, not super impressed, man. Like, I he's good, but in the discussion of like the best top strikers in the world, maybe, look, surprise me with his age and I might change my opinion. How old is he?
Let's see.
He's got to be like 28, 29. Then
he's 28. You know,
he's just not in that. He's not in that discussion for me. I think like he's in the discussion between like, you know, Luis Suarez, who's the best striker game, who's the better striker game, Luis Suarez, or, you know, say like,
no,
and that's not,
no, he's not in that discussion. No,
that's not, no,
he's not he's not in that tier. No, but, he's never,
look,
had
I'll put
that
him,
season.
I'll put him in Memphis's tier.
I rate Memphis at like a 7.5. No, come on, man.
I rate
he's
Memphis.
Better than Memphis.
I rate Memphis at a 7.5, 8. I rate Kane the same. Again, until like
my brain
with my
broken.
Eyes.
Right, no,
sure. And I'll be in the vast minority. I don't mind, and I'll have to. You know, this is not a fully educated opinion. It's based on very limited.
If Kane was
sample size,
if Kane was Dutch, you'd love him, and if Memphis was German,
sure. And I would have seen him play more too. You know, that's the thing. That's what I keep saying. My sample size is very limited, just from what I personally seen of Kane. You know, I don't have the stats in front of me. I'll go through it. We can have this discussion again. But for me, Kane is not with your Mbappes and Haalands, or, you know, let alone obviously your Messis or Ronaldos for that matter, Cristianos and stuff.
I'd put him in tier two of that. But
no, because Luis Suarez is better. I'll put him in Memphis's tier. Yeah.
Boy, I hope you keep your DMs open after this. I have to pick up my son soon. Do we have what?
Yeah, we gotta go.
Discuss anything else? Yeah, we gotta wrap it up. Okay.
No. Yeah, what? We gotta wrap it up.
Yeah, we gotta wrap it up. So you and I will be back on Friday, no matter what. Promise that.
Friday for sure. I have off, so I'll be able to record.
Patreon.com/churrositacticas for access to that.
And the story behind the Griezmann.
The story. And I think we'll also take some questions from patrons and we'll answer your questions on Friday or two. Unless there's some major news that drops before then, which is possible, but we'll see. All right, Diego, thanks. Oh, congrats to Spain. Getting to the Olympics final.
The final. Late
this
one.
This is a Spanish football podcast, and we didn't even mention that. Asensio with the game winner. Congrats to Spain.
Asensio as well, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that was good. That was nice. That went the full stretch. And extra time. Asensio with a great goal and sending Spain to the final. So big shout out though to the Spain's basketball team, to the two retired pillars that are the Gasol brothers, now history of Spanish football, basketball, and losing against the Team USA. That was expected. Obviously, the game that we shouldn't have lost was against Slovenia with Doncic, but they look unstoppable. It's going to be, hopefully, Slovenia-USA final, which will
but
be something
Spain's
to look forward
still in
to.
It, right? So Spain...
No, that's it. It's out.
Oh, they're out?
Out of the middle.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's who's in the semis? So U.S., Australia...
Australia, Italy...
No, France.
Excuse me. It's Australia, Argentina... they have to play France, Italy have to play.
Bro,
Germany?
I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but what? I mean, maybe some of these games just finished now, so I don't really know. I haven't keeping up to date with it, but Australia destroyed Argentina today.
Oh, that's not news for me. I was going for Spain. I don't care what happens though.
No, but I mean, you said Argentina, so Argentina.
No, I thought. Well, those are the. Oh, I didn't see that game. So yeah, that's
okay.
The thing.
I have so semifinals, US Australia on Thursday, France Slovenia on Thursday as well.
Nice. It's great semis.
Yeah, so those are the four. We're all rooting for Doncic. Are we in agreement of that?
I guess, yeah.
Nice. Okay, cool. I thought you were going to make a joke about his Real Madrid ties or something. Okay.
He's got bad taste, but I love him. He's a great player.
Did you see Joel Embiid's tweet yesterday?
No.
He said something about Mbappe needs to go to Real Madrid because they're the best club in the world.
This fucking guy.
He also used some Twitter terminology that the kids use. I don't really get into, but anyways. Mm. Yeah. Okay. So Diego, thanks. Appreciate your time as always. Good luck with a busy week on Barca TV Plus and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And we'll see you Friday over on patreon.com/churrositacticas. Talk soon, my friend. Take care.
Talk soon. You too. Peace.
Sports Social Podcast Network.